Today's Issues continues on AFR.
And indeed, welcome back to this Thursday edition of Today's Issues. Ed, Tim, and our way. And so it's left to us, Fred and Alex and Ray. And joining us now is Steve Paisley Jordahl.
Good morning, everybody.
Good to have you with us now, Steve.
Good to be here.
Paisley. Hey. Somebody was saying this morning when people come in to tour the building, they want to visit with Steve Paisley Jordahl.
I hear that happens, yes.
Today would be a good day, folks, because Steve is wearing a shirt that looks like a box of crayons exploded. That's the only way I can put it.
That's probably a good way to do it. Hey, how come I don't get a little TV screen to see everybody?
Sorry.
Oh.
Sorry.
Okay.
You could probably...
Okay.
Change chairs is if that's just.
Brent, do you want me to change chairs or bring the thing over?
No.
Okay.
Don't worry about it.
All right. Yes, I have a new Paisley shirt on. I think that's a good way to describe it.
Is that Paisley?
There is Paisley in it. Yes, it's the.
You know.
Well, maybe not.
Paisley on steroids.
Yeah, you know? I'm not sure who designed that, but. I think they were on drugs.
This looks like something out of the 60s, right?
Yeah. Yep.
This psychedelic. Looks like an album cover from 1967.
That's right.
Hey, I don't often get to be on the radio with my friend Alex, so okay. Let me just, I got to do this. Alex, trivia question.
Okay.
What band was Ringo Starr with before he joined the Beatles?
Of course, that was Rory Storm and the Hurricanes.
Yes, it was.
Wow.
There you go.
Wow. Okay.
Good thing. That's a great trivia question.
It is, yeah.
Good question. Yeah,
You'd have to have Alex here for that.
Yep.
Steve and I, we often talk about pop culture trivia sometimes.
Yep. Okay. All right. Hey, listen, folks, just before we went to the news break, I was mentioning that in New Jersey, we were talking about education, school choice, all of that sort of thing. Homeschooling, certainly one of those school choices. But in New Jersey, some Democrats there want to bring in some what I would call draconian restrictions on homeschools. They want homeschool families to send a letter to the government explaining what they are up to, and they want a curriculum that corresponds to the state curriculum. Like they want homeschoolers to teach their kids about climate change. They want homeschoolers to be exposed to diversity, equity, and inclusion doctrines, all of those kinds of things. On Fox this morning, there were some New Jersey moms who are homeschoolers, and they talked about this. Cut number 14.
When our state failed to provide an education that best fit my children's needs. So along with those three, there are so many others that opted out when the governor said, no, virtual learning is bad. Well, those three kids actually did fantastic. And they still do.
I do see a big problem with the state stepping in. Homeschool students continue to outperform public school students. So I don't see a point in the state stepping in if on standardized testing, SATs, your ACTs, homeschool students are continuing to outperform public school students. There's obviously nothing wrong with what they're being taught, and you can see that through their standardized testing. So I don't see a need for the state to be stepping in.
Yeah.
You know, I guess, Alex, I guess the state of New Jersey Democrats there see homeschooling as a threat to the woke agenda, obviously.
Well, I mean, forcing homeschoolers to teach the very type of content that parents conscientiously wanted to get away from. They're trying to make homeschooling basically the same as government schooling. And by the way, let me just say, for years we've used the term, you know, public schools. I use this term now, government schools, because it's really the programming of a narrative rather than the pursuit of truth and true education.
All right, Steve.
The bill would also, just to finish this up, the bill would also require the parents maintain a portfolio of the students' work, including writing samples, worksheets, which they have to submit to be evaluated by the state.
Wow. Mm. Well, basically, they want to gut homeschooling.
Absolutely.
Let's face it. That's what they want to do. Ray?
Well, this is going to cause a revolution in New Jersey. And you know what? I know of families who have moved out of states like Illinois, and where this is a big issue, And it's going to happen in New Jersey. They're going to go to red parts of the country where they can educate their students in a Christian worldview according to the dictates of the conscience without a whole lot of government oversight. I think this is going to blow up in a bad way for the state of New Jersey. Really bad idea.
Yeah. All right. Hey, have you guys been talking at all about the charges that have been leveled against James Comey and John Brennan?
Yes.
Okay. I want to talk about the media coverage of that because it is something to behold. You know how we keep talking about when the Democrats do something wrong and the Republicans notice it? It's not what they did, but it's the Republicans pounce on such and such. This is the headline of the New York Times and the first paragraph of the New York Times story reporting the new charges against Comer and Brennan. Administration takes steps to target two officials who investigated Trump. The Trump administration appears to be targeting officials who oversaw the investigation into the 2016 Trump campaign's connections to Russia. Not alleged connections, not debunked connections. No, but the connections.
Connections, yeah.
So, and it makes me ashamed to be a reporter.
Yeah.
And
they use words like target, and a target is like you're putting somebody in the crosshairs, you know. You're the bad guy.
Well, they're not targeting it. It's like they're trying to single them out because they're taking revenge. In fact, that was... They say that it's a significant indication that President Trump's appointees intend to follow through on his campaign to exact retribution against his perceived enemies. These are people who broke the law. The CIA is finding out that these two men led the charge to discredit and to deplatform the sitting president of the United States.
Yeah, they led the Russia hoax.
They led the Russia hoax.
Yeah.
And the immoral, and now we're going to find out after this, because of this investigation, Ray, whether it was illegal.
Well, good. It's about time. Look, if Kamala Harris had somehow won the election, this investigation never happens. Elections have consequences, and let's have the investigation and let the chips fall where they may.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then it's interesting to see how the New York Times is going to decide to report on that, too, all along. I'll be watching. You guys can be tuning in. Everybody can tune in to AFN.net, and as the information comes in, we'll have information up there about the bias that is huge
yes.
with our media. All right, we have a new poll out for the mayor's race in New York City. And Zoran Mamdani holds a 10-point lead over Andrew Cuomo. Republican Curtis Silva is in third. And Eric Adams brings up the field at 11% is in fourth. So if the election were held today, it looks like Mamdani, the communist, would have the seat of the mayor.
Well, you know what, Alex, if that's what the people want in New York, then go ahead and I guess we can all tell them when that happens, we told you so.
Yeah, yeah. Wow, how far we've fallen since the days of, I know people talk so fondly about Rudolph Giuliani, who I had the privilege of meeting several times in the immediate aftermath of 9/11. And then at Values Voter Summit and at the RNC convention last year. But even Ed Koch, you know, who it's just unthinkable that one of our great cities, one of our most populous cities, and by the way, the state of New York, one of the world's preeminent economies, that they would even that a man so antithetical to everything about, you know, America would be this close to winning the candidacy for the mayoral race there. We got to pray and let's hope the citizens of New York wake up.
I, I, I was listening to a story on Fox this morning, and someone said, you can hear noise behind the Mamdani speeches, and the noise is those people loading up their U-Haul trailers.
Right.
Yeah. Right. Indeed. Certainly true.
Indeed. Yeah, I don't think I'd want to be. Now, my son lives in New York City. It's going to be interesting to talk to him as this unfolds.
All right. What else you got?
All right. I have an unofficial competition going on to see what is the stupidest thing that Texas Congresswoman Jasmine Crockett can say. And it is a high bar. Let me tell you, there are a lot of things she said. But I think what she has said on a recent podcast takes the cake. They were talking about all the violence that's going on in this country. And listen to what she had to say. Cut 16.
The violence doesn't come from Democrats, just to be clear. I mean, obviously, anyone can be a criminal, but it is MAGA. It's specifically MAGA faction. Like, I don't think traditional Republicans are getting engaged in all of this, but, like, even when we look at and they don't talk about the assassination attempts anymore that took place with Donald Trump, but these were Trump supporters, right? As well as this most recent situation, they tried to flip it and say, oh, the leftists are, I'm like, this doesn't even make sense, right? But it's only like MAGA that does this.
Just MAGA. Hey, how many peace-loving Democrats have you beaten up lately Alex?
That would be zero. Well, you know, this is really transference. It's a classic. It's out of the Saul Alinsky playbook, Rules for Radicals, to accuse your opponent of that which you are actually doing. I mean, the lawlessness, destabilization, and even the threats and violence against conservative constitutionalists, it's the cause of the rhetoric coming out of the left, not the right.
You know, she says that it was, Ray, it was Trump supporters who decided to try to shoot Trump.
That doesn't even make sense.
No.
I mean, how do you, in what universe are you going to say that the fellow who crawled up there and took the shot was a Trump supporter? Makes no sense. What's it? Well, this goes to the point that our president was making. That I commented on earlier, there's something wrong with the Democrats. There's something wrong with their heads that one of their elected representatives could say, yeah, this is all MAGA. They're the ones who are doing this kind of stuff. It's crazy talk.
You know, hey, go ahead.
Well, when James Carville was on the Bill Maher program some months ago, and James Carville said, and I quote, "Christians are a bigger threat to America than Al-Qaeda." James Carville, that's not even rational.
And he's a moderate, supposedly.
In some world, perhaps, but the real one, I don't know. But, you know, we just have to keep speaking truth, being role models, and influencing others, and praying. Yeah. But
we kind of are a biggest threat to their agenda.
I suppose that's true.
I hope that's true.
Yeah. Hey, Jasmine Crockett talked about the assassins against President Trump. And I don't know, you guys have heard that they have laid off several Secret Service agents now that were involved in, well, that did not do their jobs in Butler, Pennsylvania. And so there's questions out there. We have some sound from Helen Comparator, who's the widow of Corey Comparator. Corey was the man who was sitting behind President Trump, and one of the bullets intended for Donald Trump killed him. And a couple others were gravely wounded there. President Trump, as we know, just barely missed dying himself. But this is Helen Comparator saying she wants answers. Cut 15.
I want to know what they were thinking that day. Where were they? Why didn't they come pick up the radios? Why weren't they paying attention? Why did they think that roof didn't need covered? I can see it. Our blood is all over their hands. I'm angry. I lost the love of my life. My kids lost their father.
That's tough to listen to, guys. It really is. And I don't know. We're not at the point where we can say a deliberate negligence, but the fact that some of these guys didn't even have their walkie-talkies on so they could communicate about this guy crawling on a roof, There was so much that went wrong, Ray. And again, we can't say it was deliberate, but the question I think that needs to be answered, how could that level of incompetence occurred when you have a candidate for the president of the United States at an event, and we know the details now, this guy, the shooter, was able to get up on this roof and in clear sight was able to take that shot.
It begs
all these questions.
Fred, you've got the issue of the local police.
Yeah.
Who spotted the guy up there, and one of them radioed in, there's a guy up there, and he's got a gun.
Oh.
And evidently, that message somehow never got to the Secret Service. How is that possible? How is it possible that for an event like that, they didn't have that roof covered? The guy got up there. The local police saw it, and the Secret Service knew nothing about it. We don't need to posit a conspiracy, but it is a tremendous failure, tremendous dereliction of duty.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Hey, there's some breaking news that just came down. You know, they had the Supreme Court recently ruled against, it was the birthright citizenship case, and the ruling there was that judges, local federal judges at a district level cannot pose a nationwide injunction on anything. Well, another one has, and it happens to be in the birthright citizenship ban. So a federal judge in New Hampshire has blocked President Trump's executive order banning birthright citizenship and granting a nationwide class certification status to all infants impacted on the order on Thursday. So U.S. District Judge Joseph LaPlante said, no can do. You can't do that, Mr. President. So the Trump administration will appeal. I don't even know if it's required to abide by it, given the, I suppose it will, but given the recent Supreme Court ruling.
Yeah, well, it's just another example of these activist judges that Biden had the opportunity, and despite what the Supreme Court ruling was, they continue to do so. I am optimistic it's going to be overturned. There's no question about it. Hey, you guys hear about Biden's doctor was brought into a hearing, a closed-door hearing yesterday. Obviously, Republicans want to find out. The reports were from, Dr. Kevin O'Connor and others that, the president's fine when he was in office. The president's fine. He's competent. We heard from, the White House people that, he's never been sharper, all of these kinds of things. So here's a little bit from Dr. Kevin O'Connor yesterday, because when he was questioned about all of this, under oath by the Republicans, guess what he did? Pled the fifth. Cut number 10.
Were you ever told to lie about the president's health?
I must respectfully decline to answer based upon physician-patient privilege and in reliance on my right under the Fifth Amendment of the Constitution.
Did you ever believe the president was unfit to execute his duties as president?
I must respectfully decline to answer based on the physician-patient privilege and in reliance on my right under the Fifth Amendment of the Constitution.
Well, here's the question, Alex, that I have. If you were telling the truth that the president was mentally fine, why would you have to plead the fifth to a very direct question about his mental health? Why would you have to plead the fifth? You could just say, no, that was my assessment. I believe that. No problem. But instead, he pleads the fifth.
Well, the pleading the fifth, quote unquote, is something one may do to attempt to avoid incriminating themselves. But I think by pleading the fifth, he does incriminate himself. You know, as a medical professional, I mean, it's a yes or no question. Were you ever urged to lie about the president's fitness to hold office or be reelected? And to refuse to answer that question, in other words, yeah, you did. And as a doctor, a medical professional, I mean, yes, he has a responsibility to his patient, then President Joe Biden, but he has a responsibility to the American people. You know, you've got to understand, folks, the Democrats were trying to, because of their lust for power and their ideology, their anti-American, anti-constitutionalist bent towards globalism and wokeness. They were trying to forcibly retain an unfit candidate. And then, let's just talk about, remember, the guardians of democracy did a very undemocratic thing. Without winning a primary, Kamala Harris was forcibly made the candidate. Now, thank God Almighty she lost. But this is treason, and this is basically, an attempted coup of the vox populi in a democratic republic.
Right.
Not the first one we've seen.
No, and I don't think it'll be the last one either. And on that point, Alex, there's not been enough. There's not been, at least to my mind, written about what really happened on that weekend. I guess was it in July when we go into the weekend and it's Joe Biden and we come out and it's Kamala Harris and nobody, it's still not clear to me what really happened. Who pushed the buttons? Who put the pressure on, and why did President Biden give in to this? It's not just undemocratic, it's extremely anti-democratic way.
To answer your question, who pressed the button?
Yeah.
I would like to nominate for that action one Barack Obama.
Yeah. Most likely. True.
Well, here's the thing, and listen, I was at the RNC in Milwaukee last summer. It's funny, on the Thursday, whatever that was, this was, I think, Thursday, July 19th, I think it was. Trump was shot at on Saturday, July 13th.
Right.
I had the privilege of praying. I was alone, bumped into Eric Trump. Eric Trump said to me, he said, "Jesus saved my dad." Mm. He said, "My family knows it. My dad, Donald Trump, knows it." Anyway, but on Thursday, the 19th, Joe Biden said, "I will not leave this race." By Sunday, he was stepping out. But I had it from a number of Washington insiders. The Biden presidency was de facto Obama's third term.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, Fred, are you a list maker?
A list maker?
You make lists?
At times.
Well, there's a guy, this is a young artist named Jesse Wells. I cannot recommend his music. I don't know it very well, but he has a song about making lists. This is cut 17.
Hey, you got your bucket list, your grocery list, your list of things to do. You got a list of all your wishes. That's a wish list, dude. You got your Amazon and Santa Claus and Tooth Fairy too. But I know a list that don't exist, and buddy, so do you. It's the Epstein list. It's a mystery list with a twist. It's a myth of a list that we all just missed. Be an optimist, not a pessimist. If you wish to persist, it's probably best to forget that list. Now, what were we talking about? I don't remember.
The Epstein list. The list doesn't exist.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good. I don't think it'll make number one on the charts in across the country, Alex, but kudos for truth, perhaps.
Yeah, that's good satire. That's a good song. Good lyrics.
Yeah. Dan Bongino and Cash Patel were tasked with, and they all promised that they would get to the bottom of the Epstein thing, and we've post heard of the confusion of whether there was a list on the desk of the Attorney General or not, Pam Bondi. What do you think? Do you think there was a list or not, guys?
Somewhere.
You're saying yes.
Think. Yeah.
Sure. Alex?
Only the Lord knows.
He does indeed.
Yes. We may never find out. Hey, listen, thanks for all you guys. Thanks, Ray. Appreciate it. Alex, appreciate you always as much. You and Bert on this afternoon?
We're in Numbers chapter 15 today on Exploring the Word, 3 p.m. Central. Please tune in.
All right, and read up. Steve, thank you so much.
My pleasure.
Our thanks to Brent. Our thanks to Gary Bauer. And all of those who have helped out today and during this week. I do believe Trivia Friday is back with Tim and Ed. And JJ's not back from vacation yet. It'll be Bert.
It's going to be Bert, yep.
All right, should be great. All right, folks, have a great rest of the day. Go out there and be a blessing to someone else. We'll see you soon.